Just make up your mind. You ever heard that? It is time to make up your mind. When I think about going to grab something to eat, I think about two people. I think about Paula Ladd and I think about Amy Ladd. The two most difficult human beings I have ever dealt with besides me in my entire life. Here it is. Talking to Paula and talking to Amy. What do you guys want for lunch? I don't know. Well, what do you want to go get? I don't know. Well, then can you make up your mind so that we can decide what you want to do? And then here's what Amy says, and here's what Paula says. It doesn't matter to us where we go. And I say, well, how about if we go down to so-and-so? I'm not going there. And then I'll say, well, Paula, what do you think? And I said, just make up your mind. It doesn't matter to me. I'm ready to even have a bowl of water and a toothpick. I am that ready. But what do? They just sit there and look, and they just want to argue. And then Amy comes out with, I think today I'm going to get a salad wherever I go. And then when she gets to where she's going to go, she doesn't want a salad. She wants shrimp. And then when they deliver the shrimp, it's not really exactly the one she wanted. So then she says, I'm having to struggle to make up my mind as to what I want. So the thing I want to bring up today is make up your mind. Amen? All right. And then she's made up her mind that I am going to be talked to after the services today. I want to bring this lesson to you today, brothers and sisters, because seriously speaking, I had to poke at them a little bit, but seriously speaking, it is time for you and me to make sure that we've made up our mind. Do you agree with that? And it is extremely important, sis, that we make up our mind today to follow Jesus Christ and to be complete in our decision. Let me break it down for you like this. You are either a Christian going and bound for that place called heaven, and a servant of Almighty God, doing what God is calling us to do, being engaged, if I may, in the things that the Scripture tells us that we are to be engaged in. Or if we're not following God, we're following after unrighteousness. We're following after the devil, and we're headed to a place called hell. Does that make sense? Whether going to heaven or hell, is there any middle ground in there? So the Bible makes it very, very clear to you and me that we have got to make up our mind. The Bible actually brings this to life. The Bible sheds a lot of great light upon exactly what I'm talking about today. The title of our lesson is Make Up Your Mind. Will you say that with me today? Make up your mind. And that's something that we need to ask ourselves when we are faced with adversity, when we're faced with difficulties, and everybody in here has got a glass full of that. You know, we all have got things going on in our lives that we wish really wasn't taking place, but we have to make up our mind. Am I going to depend upon myself? Am I looking for self-deliverance? And am I looking to try to do this on my own, or do I need to put my reliance upon God? Well, we know the answer to that is to put our reliance upon God. But sadly, we don't always have the strength, if I may, to do that. Does that make sense? Sometimes we know what we should be doing. We know what the Bible tells us to do, but sometimes the environment that we're in or the conditions that we're in can sometimes cause us or our mind to waver a little bit or maybe to lose our focus. Today, I want to encourage each and every person that's assembled here and those that are tuned in by Facebook to make up your mind. Amen? Make up your mind on what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. I choose this day. I want to be very clear and convey this message to you as clear as I can. I choose to follow Jesus Christ and His righteousness. I choose John 14:2, where Jesus says, in my Father's house are many what? Mansions. And Jesus says, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Well, I think my mind's pretty well made up. That's where I'm going to go as long as I'm faithful unto death. Does that make sense? Grabbing your Bibles, head over to the book of Matthew chapter 6 down in verse 24, where the Bible clearly talks about this. Matter of fact, Jesus was talking to his disciples in this sermon that many people, and the Bible describes it as Sermon on the Mount. Very good. So Jesus was teaching his disciples the right way to live, wasn't he? He was telling his disciples that these things must be done in order for you to follow me and for you to be my servant, for me to be your master, for you to go to heaven. This is what has to take place. But evidently, some of those people were struggling in their walk, just like many people today are, those that are Christians and non-Christians alike. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 24, the Scripture says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and what the other? Despise the other. And watch what Jesus tells his disciples. And watch what he's telling you and me today. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So we need today, what's the title of our lesson? Make up your mind. You didn't say it like you meant it. Make up your mind. Do you remember? Let me bring this to life. I know I showed you what Jesus, Bobby, told his disciples, but let me show you. Let me just put it into action. Go over to the book of Revelation. I'm going to show you something else in here that Jesus was very clear about. It's over in Revelation chapter 3. Does anybody know what verses? 14 through 16. Very good. Revelation 3, 14 through 16. Watch the words that the Lord made very clear, Michael, to the church at Laodicea. Y'all ready? All right. The scripture says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." God is simply saying in verse 15, watch what the Lord says, "I know your what? That you are neither cold nor hot. And I, God, wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." There's another translation that says that I will spew you. You know, vomit out of mouth is one thing, but spewing you is spitting you as far away from the body as you can, right? And so that orifice is pretty tight. You're out of here. Does that make sense? So that's what the Bible is saying, and this is Jesus speaking. Look, go ahead and let's do 17. "Because you say, I am rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and you're naked." So without God, without Christ Jesus, you are destitute. Does that make sense? Without Christ Jesus, we are but nothing, brothers and sisters. So today, let me encourage you. If you're wavering in your relationship with God, no matter, you know, I know that sometimes people can be a Sunday morning Christian or a Sunday evening or maybe a Wednesday night peak of the week Christian, but we need to make up our mind today that Jesus is our master, amen? That Jesus is the Lord of my life, that I'm going to dedicate my life, I'm going to be committed into Jesus Christ in this relationship, and I'm going to put Christ on in my life the way the Bible tells me, and I'm going to live my life the way the Bible tells me. But until we do that, until that happens, before we can do that, we have got to what? Make up. Very good. So it appears that the church of Laodicea, you know, they was a church there, but they had not, Heather, they had not made a firm commitment. They just wasn't doing it the right way. So the Lord was not happy about that. They was living a life that was unacceptable. It was high time for the church at Laodicea to make up their mind and to do the right things. Folks, listen to me. Have you thought about that? Have you ever thought about what was going on with the church of Laodicea? Seriously speaking today about your life, what side or whose side are you really on? I mean, seriously, I'm not talking about a Sunday morning event where we come together in this building. I'm talking about when you're by yourself. I'm talking about your inner thoughts. I'm talking about your actions. And I'm talking about our reactions. I'm talking about our faith. I'm talking about our trust. And then when I say I'm bringing it out from the Bible. Does that make sense? So what about those things? Have we made up our mind yet to be fully committed? Some of the adversity that my family is facing right now, just like many of you are facing, sometimes can cause us, I know for me, because of my immature ways sometimes, it can cause me to go, "Where are you, God, in this? You know, what's going on here? We're praying so earnest, and we're doing this, and we're doing that, and I don't understand why we're not seeing progress. I don't understand why things aren't happening better than this." And then it dawned on me why it wasn't, because there's way too many eyes in that picture. Amen? So we've got to go from getting eye out and putting God in. Is that okay with everybody? It's got to be, because he's not going to do it any other way. Today, we are either on the Lord's side or the devil's side. Does that make sense? Sadly, there are countless people in our world. They profess one thing. They profess their love for the Father, their love for Jesus Christ, but their actions totally demonstrate something quite different. Their conduct perhaps is not conducive with what the Bible says. So let's break it down today. And let's get to that question once again. Whose side? Which side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side or the devil's side? So let's get into it. The first point I want us to examine this morning as we talk about it's time to what? When he's talking about it's time to make up your mind, here it is. When you make up your mind, whichever one of these you choose, here's your first point. Your commitment must be clear. Does that make sense? It needs to be clear. If not, it's too confusing to people, isn't it? Do you agree today that people are watching your lives? Our lives. Do you agree today that you have a coworker that's really watching you? You ever realize that you have a child or a grandchild or a neighbor that's watching and listening to everything you say and do, even though you may not be aware of that? That's why Jesus said what he said. You are a light. You're sitting on a hill. You need to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Glorifying who? That's right, glorifying God. You know what? I heard another preacher say, you know what? We are all just reflectors. We don't have a light within us. There's no switch that we can turn our light on and off. Do you agree with that? The light that is in us is who? It's Jesus Christ, isn't it? So we can't just turn it off. We are reflectors. The way we can look at this is God is the sun and we are the moon. Does that make sense? So we are reflectors of God's light. Isn't that right? Now, if you're riding a bicycle, you know, remember years ago they had bicycles. Some of y'all are too young to remember this, but some of you old goats like me will remember, like this old goat. Well, you remember, James, I know you remember because you're older than I am. All right? So as we go down the road, you remember on the handlebars? Watch Bobby. Bobby remembers. He's old too. So you remember had a little thing that you push, you go ring, ring, ring. You remember that one? Bobby said he couldn't afford it. So what Bobby did, he took baseball cards with clothes hangers and put them on there and made him a little motorcycle out of that. But you remember, seriously speaking, you remember the headlights that used to be on the front of the thing? You get them at Western Auto for $6. Y'all remember those? And if you buy two headlights, you get a speedometer free. Y'all remember that one? Bobby Campbell used to tell us about that, but then he charged you tax, and you know that just threw everything off. But I remember the headlight, so if I was going in one direction, I'd have that little headlight on, and it would shine about from here to the phone right there, maybe not quite that far. But on the back of the seat, you remember there was a little reflector right there, wasn't it? So when the light of a vehicle or light of anything was shining upon you, you could see it, and it would illuminate. It was a reflector, and they know not to hit you. But if that reflector got dirty and soiled and covered up, it wouldn't work, would it? Our life's the same way, brothers and sisters. We are reflectors of God. We are a light that's been set upon a hill. And if we allow the things of the world and the mud and the grease and the grime of the world to cover up our reflectors, we're in trouble. Because the Bible tells us to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorifying Jesus, glorifying your Father, which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you, please, make your commitment very clear. Is that all right? The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, the Bible says, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father. He tells us how to do that through Him, through Jesus Christ. So if you have chosen, if you have made up your mind to follow Jesus Christ, if you're on the side with the Lord Himself, then do what Christians do. Well, how do we know what Christians do? How do we know what a Christian should do? That's why I have the next passage of Scripture there for you in 2 Timothy 2:15 when Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed to do what? Rightly divide the word of truth of the word of God. So there's no way, Brother James, there's no way, Brother Harvey, that you and I can know what we need to do if we're not in His word. Isn't that right? We can be told by somebody else, but we need to follow the very oracles of Almighty God. If you are a Christian, then you're on the Lord's side. And your actions of studying God's holy word, will certainly be evident. But how about prayer? Wouldn't prayer be evidence of our Christianity? If we're going to the Lord in prayer like He tells us to in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, down in verse 17, to pray without ceasing, shouldn't that be and wouldn't that be part of our Christian responsibility? Not only praying when we are in trouble, when we need God, but making sure that we're praying for others of the household of faith. Making sure that we're praying for everybody, including our enemies, is what the Bible tells us. Isn't that about right? To pray without ceasing? And then what about this? What about if you're a Christian, what about this attendance issue? I know that people, if I was one that would come in and warm the pews and one that would do all that, I'd be thinking, man, why do all these long-winded preachers have to talk about attendance every lesson? I can tell you why we talk about attendance in every lesson. Look around you. This building holds, what, 125, 150 comfortably, and we have, what, 30 with us today? 32, 33? Now, granted, there are people who can't get out. There are people in hospitals. There are people that's having to work. There are people that's doing surgeries. God gets that, and so do we. But what about the people that still every day go to their jobs? What about the people every day that still, and I'm not going to ever stop harping on this, no matter if you're offended or not, I'm not going to stop, because it is my responsibility as a minister to spread the oracles of God, isn't it? So what about the people that can go out to eat, they can go to restaurants, they can go to the drive-through windows, they can do all of these different things. We can go and buy clothes, we can go and buy shoes, we can get new socks, we can do all these different things, but God forbid us to go to the church service. Are you getting this? I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. And I'm not trying to beat on anybody that can't be here today. There's people in funeral homes, there's people all over the place. But there are also people, let me be very clear, there are also people that could be here today that's chosen not to. Amen? All right. So why does your preacher always talk about that passage of Scripture about attendance? Because it is desperately needed. And I guess one thing that, you know, and the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy that there's some things we'll never understand, and this is one of them. I cannot understand why if someone is a child of the Most High God, someone is a Christian, someone that says that I love the Heavenly Father, why then do they have to be begged and pleaded with to gather together in the house of the Lord? Does that make sense? Am I being fair? Because God's being fair. Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. It's so much more as you see the what? You know what day this is. You know this is a day of the Lord. What if we forget God? I mean, what if God forgot us the way we forget God? How about that? Would that get your attention? Huh? What if God just says, you know what? Your only time I hear from you is when you want something. And that's kind of the nature of people, isn't it? You know, I hear from you when you want something, whenever your tears are crying because you got a loved one sick, or you got this going on, or you're fixing to lose your job, this is about to happen. So now you're praying real earnest, but when things are perfect, you called on me. Oh, thank you, Lord, love you, forgive me, amen. We need to call upon the Lord in all times, good and bad, amen. Whatever we do in word or deed, you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and Dana had this all mixed up last night, in Philippians chapter 4, she was trying to say verse 16, 17, 13, and it was actually verse 6, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto who? God. So we need to make sure that we're doing what? That we're revealing, that we're showing, that we're telling everything to Almighty God. Some may say, Heather, well, God knows it all. Why do I need to tell him? Because he says, pray without ceasing. I asked Dana last night because I was, what do you call that? I was in my feelings. And she said I had to talk him off the ledge. And I thought, okay, because I mean, I was seriously getting ready to be on my ledge. I had like 5 Diet Pepsis lined across the counter. Don't know if I'd have made it here today, but figured I wasn't driving, so it didn't matter. But the reality is, I said, well, Dana, I don't understand when the Bible's sitting there saying pray without ceasing. I promise you I'm doing that. And she goes, yeah, I know. And then we started talking about Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, I'm doing that. And Dana goes, no, we're not. We're still wound up. We're still anxious. We're still dependent on ourselves, and we're not putting it in God's hands. Now, folks, that's a true statement, isn't it? I didn't like her. I still don't like her after she told me that. Because anyway, Bible don't say I have to like her. Bible says I have to love her. But anyway, we're getting the picture, right? So we need to pray without ceasing. We need to be involved in our attendance. We need to be vigilant. We need to be seriously diligent in our prayers. What about benevolence? Is that important? James 1:27, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. You have a big responsibility, and I do too, Jerry Jr., so we need to make sure that we make up our what? Mind. Matthew 22:37-40 is talking about the golden rule, Amy. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Isn't that right? So if we want Mexican food, we're getting Mexican food, right? No, we're not. We don't want Mexican food. All right. What about faithfulness in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, down in verse 10? Be faithful unto what? Yes. Very good. And I, Jesus, will give you the crown of what? So I know many times we make the confession that we're on the Lord's side. And I believe for a moment that we are. But then I also know without a doubt that there are many, many instances which changes a person's position. God didn't change your position. You changed your own. Isn't that right? What comes to mind, Brother Larry, is a guy named Peter. Anybody in the Bible? Anybody ever heard of a guy in the Bible named Peter? I'll give you a thrilling example, then I'm going to go hit these points real quick, real short, real quick. But Peter was one in the Bible that said, Lord, even if I have to die, I will never be made to deny you. Does anybody remember that? Jesus looked at that boy, and I'm going to paraphrase it, said, "Man, you don't even know what you're talking about." And he said, "No, Lord, yes, I do." He goes, "Even if I have to die, I'll give my life for you. I am not going to deny you." And I'm convinced, not that he had to convince me, but I'm thoroughly and truly convinced that I believe he meant what he said. I believe at that very second, if something would have happened, Peter would have died for him. But there was a little bit of time that went by, Darlene, and then he was took out. He saw that Jesus had already been drug off, right? He was there. Crucifixion was about to happen. Jesus had already been through some stuff. So here one comes and look, goes, "Are you with him?" What was the first thing that he did? Exactly. Nope. Then somebody else came along and said, "Hey, I think you're with Jesus." And he goes, "No, I'm not." And then the third time, there was a girl come walking through there, and she said, "You sound like him, and you're there. I think he was with him." And not only did he say no, but he began, the Bible says, to swear and curse, didn't he? "I do not know him. I do not know that man." So you see how sometimes our environment changes, the conditions that we're in, our situation changes, and all of a sudden we can lose our focus. Does that make sense? But you and I, when those difficult times are upon us, and I'm preaching to me this morning, when those difficult times are upon us, that's where we have to make up our mind and say, you know, that no matter what's coming up, I'm not going to lose my focus on God. Now, it's hard. And it takes practice. And it takes a lot of discipline, doesn't it? When I think about what's happening with the life of Peter and what he did, I know that he felt bad. The Bible even talked about how bad he felt about it. At first, when you took a look at what was going on in his life, when you looked at what Peter was saying, you would have to have great admiration for him. But I believe that Peter needed to be humbled a little bit. "I will not deny you. I will never be made to deny you." Do you remember what was happening with the church at Corinth? They was a little bit arrogant, a little bit cocky, sort of like he was. And you remember what Paul told them over in Corinth? In 1 Corinthians 10:12, he says, "Therefore to him who thinks he stands," he said, "you better take heed lest you what? Because you'll hit the dust, buddy." So we need to make sure that our reliance is upon God and not mankind. Does that make any sense? So today we've got to make up our... So listen, there are many in the scriptures that their actions showed something different from their confession. In the book of Luke, chapter 18, are you in agreement to go there with me? In the book of Luke, chapter 18, we're going to go 18 through 23. Luke 18, 18 through 23, and watch what happened here. The scripture says, "Now a certain ruler asked him," talking to Jesus, says, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 19. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one." And he makes it very clear. That is who? That is God. "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." Verse 21. And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have. Distribute to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come and then..." Thank you. He said, "Come and follow me." But when he heard this, the Bible says that he became very sorrowful because he was very what? The Bible says he was very rich. So what happened with him was he had not fully made up his mind. Here's a guy who said that he was going to follow Jesus. How long has he been following him? That's right. Very good. Even from his childhood, even from his youth. Thank you, Brother Michael. Even from his youth, his childhood, he had been following Jesus. And I believe today that there's a lot of people that follow Jesus. Thank the Lord for that, right? But there's a lot of people that follow Jesus, but is Jesus first in our lives? There's a difference. This guy was following Jesus until it came to him parting with something else. He had some little God's little G, didn't he? He had the wealth, he had the money, and he didn't want to let it go. He had great possessions. So let's make up our mind today that no matter what comes up, no matter who comes up, that our mind is set, our mind is made up, we're going to follow Jesus Christ. As for me and my household, we're going to choose the Lord. Who was it that said that great prophet? Jeremiah 10 what? No, it ain't. That's the wrong one. It was Jeremiah, wasn't it? Larry, you don't know either, do you? Okay, so it was that great prophet Jeremiah. Yeah, who said, you can do whatever you want. You can serve the Lord of the Amorites and the ones that your father did and all this kind of stuff. But as for me and my household, we will serve. Joshua said that, right? Was it Joshua? Somebody in the Bible said, for me and my household, we're going to follow the Lord. Isn't that a shame? A preacher and three leaders and nobody knew. Harvey comes in. Come on, Baptist. That's it. So you're going to probably need to delete this one. And we are a sick group. Okay, so let's keep going before the Baptist does good. Thank you, Harvey. We're proud of you. If we look at something else over in the book of Luke chapter 10, can we go back there? Luke chapter 10, let me show you something else that's really pretty too. In the book of Luke chapter 10, I want to show you verses 30 through 36. Check this out. Luke 10, 30 through 36. The Bible says then Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him what? Half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when they saw him, passed by on the other side. Well, who was it that passed by on the other side? He was a what? He was a priest. So he was a religious person, wasn't he? One of those Sunday morning religious people. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came, looked, passed by on the other side. But here's a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. So he went to him, and he bandaged his wound, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will come again, and I'll pay you back. Is that what he was saying? I'll repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the Bible says in verse 37, and he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Folks, listen, that's evidence of a guy's love for God. Amen. That's evidence of what you and I should be doing. The priest was a religious person. He's probably talked about it many, many times, but he didn't do it. And yet we have this guy, the Levite. He didn't do anything either, but the one that probably wouldn't have done it, the least liked one that would have done it at all, he's the one that jumped in and rescued him, wasn't it? He made up his mind to do the right thing. You and I have got to make up our mind to do the right thing. The list is endless of those that clearly showed which side they were on. Abraham, in the book of Genesis chapter 22, did he show God whose side he was on when he offered his only son Isaac? Absolutely. What about Noah and the building of the canoe? Did he? An ark, big deal. Ark, canoe, it's the same exact thing.
No.
Listen to Michael back there. Mike gets upset, don't he? No, Jerry! I need Jay here. He's pulling a gun back there. Okay, so anyway, so check this out. So on Noah, what did Noah build?
An ark.
An ark. Did he do it the way God told him to, Michael? Maybe he did. What about Moses? Did he part the Red Sea? Oh, he did. The Lord did through Moses, didn't he? So Moses parted the Red Sea because the Lord told him how to do it, right? So did he make a commitment to do it? All right. And Jeremiah, Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul, James, Jude, Stephen, all these people did what God told them to do. Is that about right, Brother Jerry? All right. So they made up their mind to do what they were supposed to do. I think about Stephen the martyr over in the book of Acts chapter 7 and 8, somewhere in there. And about how Stephen, he gave his life to do what God was calling him to do. So if you're on the Lord's side, then your commitment needs to be perfectly clear and very evident. Does that make any sense? All right, second point that we can examine is this. Please know that we need to make up our mind because God has a huge investment in you and me. He paid a huge price for us, so don't let that be in vain. Church family, which side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? If you are not on the Lord's side as of today, please stop and consider the price that has been paid for your spiritual liberties, for your freedom and for mine. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, if you read that later today, you're going to see what was written some 700 years right before Jesus was crucified. 700 years difference, but you'll see what Jesus did for us. In Isaiah chapter 7, down in verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And the Bible says, you shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And then if we peep around a little bit more and we go to the book of Matthew chapter 1, looking at 21, the Bible says, and she will bring forth a son. And who? What are we going to call him? For he will save whose people? Are y'all with me, congregation? Okay, let's do it. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name, for he's going to save whose people? From their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, here it is again. Behold, the virgin shall be with a child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isn't it awesome, Brother James Newberry, how God is with us today through Jesus Christ, his son? John 3:16-17, we do it every lesson. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not, but have. All right, 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him we might be what? Saved. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You're probably going to start remembering that one constantly, easy, because if we make it to September, I'll be here 6 years, and we've done it in almost every single lesson. I made that commitment the first day I was here, because those passages, everything about God and everything's about us is God's love for us and our love for God. Amen? If you love me, you will. Y'all are rocking. Over in 1 John 4, down in verses 9 and 10, talks a little bit more about God and his love. Let's go there. 1 John 4:9-10, the Bible says, in this is love, in this the love of God was manifested. That means it was made known, it was brought to us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might what? Live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the substitute or propitiation for our sins. Brothers and sisters, remember, seriously speaking, remember the great sacrifice that was given. So when you make up your mind today whether you're going to follow God and the righteousness of God or you're going to follow the things of the world, I hope you'll just take into consideration the price that's been paid. We need to make up our mind. God watched his only begotten Son die a very horrible, terrible, nasty death for you and for me. He carried your sin and my sin. He carried your guilt and my guilt all the way to the cross. Jesus was a spotless, perfect sacrifice for all of us. Amen? So I think we need to never look lightly upon that sacrifice. Always remember what Jesus did for us. So it warrants that again, the question, which side, whose side are you on? And don't you agree today, or do you agree today, it's time to make up your mind. Let's do our third point. It's part of the conclusion, and this lesson belongs to you. It's time to make our decision, isn't it? It's now time right here to proclaim whose side we're on. So your very actions over the next few minutes will tell the story. So that's the point. Your actions will tell the story. Does that make sense? And here it is. So this go back to this question. Are you this very moment seriously on the Lord's side? Are you working in his vineyard, or are we just busybodies in creating things? Are we really sincerely working for the furtherance of the Lord's church? Are we really doing things to edify, to pick up, to encourage? Or do we always have a mind and a mouth filled with criticism, complaints, always upset, always aggravated, agitated? Where are we in our walk with Christ? Let me encourage you to do what we can do to help the Lord's church. Many of us have many ideas today, and I preached a lesson about 2 years ago, and perhaps I need to bring it again, on what we believe the church needs. Do y'all remember that one? Some people say, well, I believe the church needs new carpet. Some say we need to paint. Some say we need that. That's not the church. That's a building, amen? What the church needs today is a congregation of God's people united in love and dedication and fellowship. Isn't that right? We need a congregation that is serious about saving souls for the Lord. I'm sorry, but I'm not one of those people that caught up on what color the curtains are. I could not care any less. I could not care any less about what color carpet we have. If we didn't have carpet, that'd be better. Because when I trip and fall, the floor is easier. You don't get the carpet burns on your arms. I don't care. What I care about is seeing souls come to Jesus Christ. Seeing lost souls come to the fold of safety. Seeing someone coming forth and saying, I'm tired of the devil. I'm tired of being in sin's prison. I am sick to death about the devil controlling my life. And I'm ready to walk in unity with Christ. That's what our desire should be. We got to give up all this little bitty tiny stuff that really don't matter. I don't think for one second on Judgment Day that the Lord's going to look back on us and say, well, you didn't do this part, and you could have had brighter bulbs in the thing, and you could have had ceiling fans that turned, and sometimes you had it too cool, and sometimes you had it too hot. I don't think that's what we're going to be judged about. Matter of fact, let me be mean. I know that's not what we're going to be judged on. We're going to be judged on our obedience and our love for God and how we responded to Matthew 28:18-20. Go into the world and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to what? Observe. Very good, Heather. All the things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the wind. Heather, to the wind. To the end. Okay, to the end. Very good. All right, so we got to get with it. Make up your mind. Make sure that we're telling the story the right way. Is that right? So, are you this very moment? Maybe you're one that's undecided. I know we got some folks in the congregation. We got some people in my own family. They're undecided. They hadn't made a full commitment yet. Are you really, truly trying to make the commitment? Are you ready to make up your mind to do what God is calling you to do? So, with that in mind, we need to ask ourselves the question. Which side today am I choosing? Am I choosing God's side or the devil's side? We need to remember that our life is just a vapor. It appeareth for a little while, and then what does it do? That's right. Harvey said back there, he said it vanishes away, doesn't it? No matter what we do and no matter how much prayer we may have, life is going to end. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Bible says a time to live and a time to doesn't mean it's going to be easy to let our loved ones go. But we know that death is coming. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed once for man to die. But after this, the 2 Corinthians 5:10, I think is where it's at. That we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for what we've done, whether good or bad. Let's close. Matthew 25:46, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So today it is time to make up your mind. What do you want? What do you want to do? Do you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? If you want to go to heaven, confirm it with an amen. 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 And if you want to go to hell, then please respond as soon as I give that invitation, because we want to help you any way that we can. Today, if you're not a Christian, become one. Hear his word. Do you agree that I gave you God's word today from the Bible? Two people. We can start over. I've got a lot of energy. Slept pretty decent. I got 3 hours sleep last night. Do y'all believe that we get it? We put it from the Bible? Yes. All right, so we hear God's word, we believe, we're willing to repent, we are to make a confession in the presence of a witness or witnesses that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then we're to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and then we're to live faithful even unto what? Yes. And then always remember that we are indeed? Thank you, Heather, our brother's keeper. You know what? I hope you'll become a Christian if you're not one. If you're not one, it's time today to make up your mind and do just that, right? Maybe you are a Christian, but you've wandered off, man. That happens to people sometimes. Why don't you get it right? Come back to the Lord. Walk again the newness of life, just like what Harvey did Sunday night. Make sure things are right in your relationship with God. You know what? Death is coming, but that's only going to be a temporary death. Amen? If we're Christians, we're going to live forever with God and the heavenly host. But if you're not a Christian, and you're not doing the right thing, you're going to suffer a second death. And that's a whole different lesson. If you have a need and you need it all, come right now as together we stand and we sing.